Today I want to conclude something that we began to speak about last week. Last week we talked about coming into the light of Christ and how the Bible speaks of spiritual light as transformational. And the meaning of light in the spiritual sense has to do with coming into the truth, having a proper relationship with Christ, understanding what He really has for you, who He is, and His attributes, and what He wants to do in your life. That's what it means to come into the light. It's not just, you know, some metaphysical, weird idea about, you know, yes, I'm enlightened as I sit here and I, you know, dwell on myself. No, it's not about that. It's not some New Age concept. It's about it being in proper submission to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and the truth. When you walk in the truth of the Bible, you come into the light. When you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you come into the light. When you yield your will to Him and say, not my will, your will be done, you're walking in the light. When God convicts you of something and says, that attitude's got to go, and you say, yes, sir, then you're walking in the light. You see what I'm trying to explain? It's not some ethereal, strange concept like, oh, I'm enlightened. The spooky thing. No, it's very practical. Walking in the light of Christ is very practical. It means that you really are obeying Him, that you're really growing close to Him in your relationship. So, Father, we pray for your anointing and your blessing on this word today, Lord. We ask you, Lord, for strength, O God, and liberty as we deliver this message, that you will accomplish all that you want to do in the hearts of every person in this room, that nobody will leave exactly the same, Lord, that you will give them something to go home with, something to think about, something that will be transformational. Put your hand on your heart for a second and say, Lord, I want what you have for me. Speak to my heart today, Lord. Help me to walk in the light of Christ and to shine that light on others. In Jesus' name. So today I want to concentrate more on the second part of this message, which has to do with reflecting His light on others. But let me just give you a quick summary of where we were last week. This is Matthew 5, 14 to 16. Let's look there. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Now, you can't shine Christ's light on anybody if you don't have the real thing inside of you. Amen? If you got something good from God, then you're able to shine it on somebody else. If you don't have it and you're walking in rebellion and you're walking in disobedience to God, don't shine that on anybody else, all right? There's enough of that already. But what we want to shine on other people is the goodness of God. We want to shine the idea of hope, no matter what's going on in their life, that God has a good plan for their life. A world that is in darkness needs the light of God. When Jesus began His ministry in Galilee, Matthew, the gospel writer, quotes Isaiah the prophet, and he says these words, "The people," this is about Jesus' ministry, "the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has shined," or dawned. How many of you know that world in the Middle East at that time is very similar to our world in the year 2017? Somebody say amen. Amen. We have a world that where in some places, in some cases, there is deep darkness. You may even know some people on the job or people who are friends or people at school. These people got some real darkness going on. There's some real hatred there. There's some real cynicism there. There's a hardness. How many of you have found sometimes people with a hardness of heart and a fear mentality and a hopeless mentality? Tradition holds to the idea that the Christmas lights are meant to remind us of the star that shone over Bethlehem, and that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, and yet the Bible says that Jesus told us that we are the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and then he says, you are the light of the world. So we have this connection with Christ, and when we're walking properly in this connection with Christ, we are able to be reflectors of his goodness, of his power, of his truth in a dark world. And how many of you know our world needs it? Somebody say amen. Notice the announcement to the shepherds. These were not the highest class of people in society. These weren't the rich and the famous. God appears to these lowly shepherds and shines this majestic light. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory of the Lord shone. Everybody say, shone. Round about them. I don't know about you, but Paul described that light of God as brighter than the midday sun. The light of God was brighter, Paul said, when he got knocked down on the road to Damascus. How many of you remember that story? And he said, I saw a light from heaven that was brighter than the sun. And the sun's pretty bright in the desert, in the Middle East, isn't it? It's blinding. When God shows up, he commands attention. Hallelujah. When God shows up, he makes a difference. Amen. God is not here for detente. He's not here to bring appeasement with the devils. Because in him there is no darkness at all. And light and darkness cannot dwell in the same place. So apart from redemption in Christ, our world is disconnected from the Father. Apart from a relationship with God, Satan has kept so many people, some people that you know, blind. Blind in their mind. Maybe not physical blindness, but a spiritual blindness. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God, small g, the God of this age. That's not talking about God the Father. That's God talking about the God of this world, who is Satan. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. What the world needs is Jesus. Just a glimpse of him. He will bring joy and gladness. Take away sin and sadness. What the world needs is Jesus. Just a glimpse of him. Jesus said in John 12:46, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. So last week we talked about this concept of letting Christ's light shine on you. And when you do that, you become awakened to the fact that there's no love that is greater than God's love. Yesterday at our Christmas party, I was able to declare after Cameron shared his testimony, I said these words, I said, but you could live to be 100 years old and you will never find a love that is greater than God's love. You could search the whole world over. You know that woman in the Bible had 5 husbands? Come on, man, don't get me started. She had 5 husbands and they were all no good. Apparently not, right? Or maybe she had a problem. Who knows? But then she met the 6th man. Then she met Jesus. Hallelujah. No one ever spoke to me like this. No one ever had this effect on me. You see, God's love is so great. When God speaks to you about being in church, when your parents are trying to tell you to read the Bible, and your parents are trying to tell you that you should be following Jesus, they're not doing that to spoil your fun. They're doing that to connect you with the greatest purpose you could ever imagine. Hallelujah. Some of you young people in here, what Pastor Angel and I have heard this taught one time, kidnapped royalty. You're meant to be royal heirs. You're meant to be sons and daughters of the King of Kings. You're meant to be an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus Christ. But the devil's got this lie going on in your head that your life is all about something else. I don't need this church stuff. I don't need this God stuff. I've got this all figured out. If you move Jesus out of your life, you miss the greatest purpose for which you were created. God has a higher purpose, a greater purpose, a grand cause, something for you to live for. There's a lot of grand causes in this world. Some people like to give their life for those who are in poverty. They like to give their life to feed children. Some people like to try to help develop the third world. These are all great causes. But the greatest cause is to take people out of spiritual darkness into the light of Jesus Christ. Because you can be a philanthropist. Come on, give them a real hand of praise. You can have all the money in the world. You can give it all away. You can do all of these great things, but unless you have Jesus in your heart, you have darkness in your heart. There's no light there. So we need to shine on others. And today I want to give you five. If you want to jot these down, time is going so quickly. I want to give you five ways you can practically shine on other people. All right? All right, let's do that. First of all, you can shine Jesus on people just by being with them. It doesn't cost anything. Pastor, I'm not feeling well. Can you come and visit me? Sure. Brother Joe, Brother Sam, whatever your name is, would you spend a few minutes with me? Can I come to your house and just sit with you? And many of you have found comfort just by somebody showing up. I can remember time. I take the time right now because... But I can remember a time I was really, really down and out. Really. This was about, maybe 8 or 10 years ago. Went through something terrible. Terrible, terrible. And my brother-in-law, Henry, comes over. Jumps in a taxi cab from Manhattan. Comes all the way over to Staten Island. Just to pray with me. Just to sit with me. And to tell me that God loved me. Just your presence can be a comfort to somebody. A warm handshake, a hug, eye contact. You ever had a conversation with somebody and they're looking all around, they're like, and you know that you're basically talking to the wall because there's no eye contact, they're not listening. Can you listen to somebody more than you talk to them? Men are especially guilty of this. Men. I'm talking to the men right now. Men like to solve problems. So now here's her wife. She comes along and she's ready to pour out her heart to us. And we go, oh, no, I know the answer to that. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this. But you didn't even listen to me. I just need you to listen right now. Men, how many of you have ever heard that? I just need you to listen right now. God gave us two ears and one mouth. Somebody say amen. People want to know that you care before they want to know what you know. They want to know that you care before you tell them what you know. Empathy is something that is so needed in our world today. To feel what somebody else is feeling. Hallelujah. I've been to hospital rooms and I've been to rehab homes, nursing homes. I just held somebody's hand. Just hold on to their hand. I had one dear sister, Sister Olson. I used to visit all the time in the nursing home. And towards the end, she couldn't see too well. She couldn't hear too well. So I said, "Hi, Sister Olson, it's Pastor Dave." "What? Hi, Sister, it's Pastor Dave." "What?" So now I'm getting a little embarrassed because I'm shouting in this place, you know, in the public. I said, "It's Pastor Dave." She goes, "Oh, how do I pass the day? Sitting right here in this chair." She thought I was saying, "How do you pass the day?" But she was glad when she finally figured out who I was. She was glad that I was there. Paul said, but God, this is Paul the Apostle, the great Apostle Paul. Do you ever think you fought with discouragement sometimes? Amen. Pastors fight with discouragement. Missionaries fight. Evangelists fight with discouragement. Ordinary people. He said, God who encourages those who are discouraged, encouraged me by the arrival of Titus. I was encouraged by the arrival of Titus. So number one, being with somebody. Number two, how can you shine your light, the light of Jesus on people? By encouraging words. Everybody needs encouragement. A world without encouragement is a very cold place. Somebody say amen. You know, it's so easy to criticize, it's so easy to analyze, it's so easy to correct and to critique. But what about lifting your brother? What about lifting him up? Hallelujah. I can't tell you how many times I have seen people broken down and beat down just by bad words. I've seen marriages that have been virtually destroyed because of terrible communication and words that came from people's mouth that cut people down and tore them down. But you know what? With those same words that you have, you can build somebody up or you can tear them down. You can use your words to build somebody up or you can use them to tear them down. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come from your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Amen. Ephesians 4:29. How many people grew up, you don't have to raise your hand, but with a mom or a dad who was either absent or if they were present, there was very little affirmation. Don't raise your hands. But how many people, think about it, grew up in a home where mom and dad did not encourage you? Mom and dad very rarely said, attaboy, I'm proud of you, son. Great job. I'm so proud of you. You did great. That was a good decision. Now the current way of dealing with children now is you made a good decision. In my day, it was like, obey daddy or we'll kill you. That was the... Things have changed quite a bit. Okay, thank God we don't live in that era anymore. Now we tell the children, you made a good decision. Yes. And that's important. It's very important. So many people grow up where there's so little encouragement. And you know, encouragement and using your words to build people up doesn't cost you a lot. All it costs is a little bit of taking your mind off yourself for a few seconds and put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Come on now. Put yourself in that man's place, in that woman's. Think for a second. What are they feeling? What are they going through? How do they feel? Let me say something. And I'm not saying to flatter them with false words or false ideas. We have to always speak the truth. But give them a word of encouragement. Even a thank you, a God bless you, a smile. I'm so sorry for what you're going through. You know, sometimes we have people in the church that they're going through a terrible trial. There's illness in the family. Somebody has passed away. Child is out of order. There's a son or daughter that's run away or is away from God. And we mean well. We try to do our best, but sometimes we're too quick to, don't worry about God. Don't worry about it, brother. Just pray on. God's got it, you know. Believe the scriptures. Take the victory. That's all good, but every once in a while you need to grab someone and say, I'm so sorry. I can imagine what you're feeling. I can understand that's very painful. It's called empathy. Yes. Amen? And it's a godly thing. Number three, you can shine on people by praying regularly for them. If nothing else works, pray for them. Amen? No demon can stop you from praying. No wall or no even prison bars cannot keep out your prayers. You may have a child who's incarcerated. But you know what? That incarceration cannot withstand the prayers of God's people. Hallelujah. There are some unsung heroes in the New Testament church. One was named Epaphras. Pastor Angel wrote about this, I think last week. Read this. Epaphras, Paul said, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, sends his greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. That's Colossians 4:12. What a wonderful testimony about this man. Wouldn't you like to be known as somebody who is praying for others? Somebody that could be counted on if the pastor or the intercessors or somebody said, hey, there's a certain prayer request going out on the prayer line, the prayer chain, that we could count on you to wrestle in prayer. Wednesday nights, we gather together here to wrestle in prayer. When we get a hold of God, we ask God to intercede for people's lives. Number four is sharing the truth in love. You can shine on people not by enabling them to keep on in their sin. Somebody say amen. I talked about this a few weeks ago, that, you know, encouraging doesn't mean you're lying to people and not telling them about the truth. If somebody is making bad life choices, if somebody is bound by addiction, if somebody is bound by anger, if somebody is constantly pushing God out of their life, you can't say, attaboy, that's a great thing. You can still love them, you can still pray for them, you can still visit them, but you also need to tell them the truth in love. Somebody say amen. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend will tell you the truth. But then the Bible says, deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Not everybody who kisses you wants what's best for you. Wow. Wow. That's a pretty profound thought right there. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Paul said to the church at Corinth, I'm sorry that I caused you pain by the letter. He sent this very strong letter because things weren't right in the Corinth church, the Corinthian church. And he says, I'm sorry that my letter caused you sorrow. However, he says, I do not regret the fact that now your sorrow has led you to repent. I do not regret the fact that even though I caused you a little bit of pain by telling you the truth, you turned around and you changed, and now you're going the right way. Hallelujah. You know, if you got to tell the truth and confront somebody, do it in a loving way. Don't hit them over the head with the Bible. Don't beat them up. Tell them the truth in love. Brother, sister, I love you, but I got to tell you, this is not right. We need some courage. Somebody say moral courage. We need some moral courage in this world today. And the last one, lifting people's burdens in a practical way. Not just showing sympathy. Brother, I'm so sorry that you fell into that pit. Hey, how is it down there? Oh man, you look terrible. You look terrible, man. You are in a pit. Wow. All right, I'll see you. Have a nice day. Be blessed. Walk in victory, brother. Hey, brother, I have no food. Brother, I need somebody to help me. Come on. Come on, church. Come on, church. And I'm convicted myself, convicted of my own message, because I want to be more practical in my love. I want to be practical. I don't want to just say, hey, brother, I love you. You know, be fed, be warm, see you next week. Sometimes it costs something personal to encourage someone else, to offer hope, to make a visit, to change your schedule. Make time for people. Come on now. Make time for somebody. Come alongside and lift the burden. Somebody needs groceries. Somebody needs a ride. Somebody needs a kindness, a good deed. Church, let's be like Jesus. Jesus will shine on you, and we need to shine on others. Hallelujah. This is the Christmas message. That the light of God shines on ordinary people, and that ordinary people can make an extraordinary difference. Hallelujah. This is the message of Christmas. The angels appeared to the shepherds. The angel of God, Gabriel, came to Mary, a young, poor, most people think teenager, and says, you're going to bear a son, and his name will be Jesus. He is the Son of God. And she said, yes, Lord. Great things do happen in Christmas, in the Christmas season, if we let the light of God shine again. How are we going to do it? How are we going to let the light of God shine again? We're going to do it in these five ways, hallelujah, that we mentioned. We're going to do it by being with somebody, by kind and encouraging words, by praying earnestly for people, by sharing the truth in love, and by lifting somebody's burden in a practical way, to lift them up. These are different ways that we can shine, that I can shine, that you can shine for Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory. Let's stand together. Hallelujah.